Kia ora e te whānau. Look, I'm excited to be here this morning. I'm really excited about what we're heading into. It's the most important time in our calendar as Christians, as the Salvation Army of the year, and I'm really excited, and we're building towards it. And I don't know, did anyone notice that things have kind of changed here since last week? Yeah? Yeah, so we're building on the story as we go, okay? And so we're going to leave some of this, well, some, if not all of this stuff here, and we're going to keep building on the story just to help try and draw us back into each element of the story as we go. Now, there's a couple of elements that are here today. You can see there's a new graffiti on the wall and some plants and some stuff down by the cross. Now, my question is, based not on the graffiti on the wall, but based on the plants and the stuff on the ground, can anyone tell me what story they think we might be jumping into today? Not Palm Sunday. Did everyone hear Brenda just then? No? Garden of Gethsemane, yeah? Okay, two elements, garden elements, and Jesus gets taken away and there's actually a little bit of a battle, yeah, that goes on. So we'll jump into that as we go. But that's the story that we're going to be jumping into. If you have your Bibles, we are going to jump in and out, but look it up now so that you're ready to go. So Mark 14, 32 to 52, that's Mark 14, 32 to 52. I'm not going to read out of any of that just yet, but have it open, ready to go. So family, as I've been pondering this story, I've been thinking about how it relates to us, obviously. And you don't need to raise your hands this morning. Often I'll get you to raise your hands or indicate that you're, but you don't have to feel like you need to raise your hands this morning. But I wonder this morning if we have trouble accepting the reality of our life situation. Do we struggle with the hand that we've been dealt in life? And do we struggle with struggle to accept what's going on in our life, but also in our world? Do we struggle to accept those things as the reality that we live in? Now, if you're anything like me, you'll feel like you're struggling with what's going on in our world at the moment, possibly with some of the elements of our lives. This story of Jesus in Gethsemane shows a struggle that Jesus had, something that he struggled to accept. That's correct. Our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, had trouble accepting the reality of something that was in his life, and we're going to delve into that today. So, as we always do, we'll start with some background. So we're looking at the book of Mark, and the book of Mark was written by a guy named John Mark, who travelled around with Peter, the Apostle Peter, or the Disciple Peter, however you want to put that. And the story that he wrote, he essentially gleaned from what he was learning from Peter along the way. So the stories that Peter told, the way that he presented the gospel, wherever he went, Mark then detailed that and pulled it together. It's actually the shortest gospel, and it's probably the most direct and straight to the point. So if you want the story quick and straight to the point, Mark's the one that you jump to. Our story today is a part of the, and the main purpose of the book was actually to highlight what it means to suffer when walking with Jesus, what it was for Jesus and the disciples to suffer. That's an interesting main point, isn't it? And actually, you know, we're going to draw on some of that today. Our story is part of the Passion section of the book, and we find Jesus with his three of his disciples, Peter, John, and James. Jesus has been trying so hard to prepare the disciples for the time to come. He's been working really hard on helping them to understand what's happening. And as we found out last week, he even told them directly, "Hey guys, I'm going to die. I'm actually going to die as part of this. This is part of the story." And they struggled to grapple with that. He tells them many times that his time is coming to an end and that they should be on guard for what is to come and what is part of the next part of the journey. Our disciples, as they often do, let Jesus down and in turn give us some lessons in how not to follow Jesus. Now, as Brett said earlier, though, remember, Don't think too highly of ourselves. I guarantee you, if we were put in the same situation, we would make the same mistakes as they did. They're there to represent us. They were people just like us, and they made mistakes just like we would have along the way. In this story, we find Jesus in great anguish, extreme anguish. This is the most anguish that Jesus ever would have felt. He's grieving what is to come. He is grieving what is to come. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is asking God, his Father, if there is any other possible way that we could do this. Is there anything else we could do to make this come true? Jesus, in this moment, is experiencing grief and suffering, and yet, at the same time, he's accepting his fate, even though it's not what he wants. Family, what this passage teaches us today is that acceptance of suffering for following Jesus leads to reliance on God, which is actually where we want to be. I know we don't like this idea of relying on something else or someone else, but acceptance of suffering for following Jesus leads to reliance on God, which is where we want to be. And we're going to jump into four lessons that we learn from Jesus and the disciples. There's four lessons throughout this particular passage. And it talks about reliance through prayer, reliance through acceptance, reliance through the Spirit, and reliance through learning. So let's jump in and have a look. Sorry, should try and give you a warning next time, Jackson, my bad. So if you've got your Bibles there and they're open, we're on Mark 14, 32 to 34 at this stage. And it says, they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. This is that moment of distress that we were talking about earlier with Jesus. It was in anticipation of what was to come, and he was overwhelmed with sorrow. Family, have you ever felt overwhelmed with sorrow? I know I certainly have. There's been times in my life where I've been overwhelmed with sorrow. Jesus is grieving what God is asking him to do. And he's experiencing sorrow to the point where he wants it all just to end now. Just be done. Let's be done. So what does Jesus do when he's overwhelmed and stressed and grieving and experiencing sorrow? He goes away with three of his friends and he begins to pray. Yeah? Family, when I was 20, so this is going back a while now, I'm 41, so this was 21 years ago. I had, and Chris might actually remember this, do you remember when I had that big lump on my ankle? I had this huge lump on my ankle. I thought for the longest time that it was a sprain. I thought I'd sprained my ankle and it just wasn't healing. And you know, you get to about 6 months, 12 months in, and you're like, I don't think this is a sprain. Something's going on. I waited far too long. Okay, let's be clear. I learned a lesson that day. You do not wait far too long if you have a big lump on your body. Yes, there we go. Anyway, so I went to my doctor. We had the chat and he actually said, you need to go and see a specialist. He didn't tell me much. He said, you need to go and see a specialist. My dad had come with me and I was in Whangarei at the time and I had to travel to Auckland to go and see the specialist. My dad said, I'm going to be there. He knew what was coming. He knew exactly what was coming. And he said, I'll be there with you. And so I went into the specialist's office and he saw the lump on my ankle and very quickly said, go and lie on that bed there, and started examining my whole body. And I was like, hang on, what's going on here? Naive 20-year-old, what is going on here? And sure enough, in 90% of cases where you've got a big lump on your ankle and you're in your 20s, it's cancer. It's a cancer, 90% of the time, it's a cancer diagnosis. And so, as you can imagine, I began to worry. I went, oh no, because the only way to deal with it is for that to be gone. And so, what did my dad and I do? We went away and we prayed. And we passed it on to other people so that they could pray. Yeah, there were many prayer chains around. In fact, I did think the other day, Jocelyn, I wondered if you were on one of those prayer chains back then. You probably were. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And I went and I got the biopsy. As we said, 90% of cases, it's cancer. And so for a week, I had to wait for a week for the biopsy to come back. But it was a benign tumour. Family, I believe to this day, I genuinely believe, I have no proof other than the fact that I believe in this amazing God, that that was cancer prior to the prayer, yeah? And all that had to happen was the tumour was to be removed. In fact, I could have left it there if I wanted to, but I didn't really want that going on. And to this day, every time my ankle hurts, every time you see me limping, I sit there and I remind myself, I still have my ankle, yeah? And I remind myself of this story. But we turned to prayer, yeah? And that's what we do when we are suffering. That's what we do in times of joy as well. We turn to prayer and we say, thank you, Lord, so much for what we are experiencing right now. And this is the very example that Jesus set for us. It's what we should be doing with our lives at every turn, in the joy and the grief, putting each situation continually to God, never ceasing to pray, yeah? We don't stop praying for something until we find the answer, which, as we know, isn't always the answer we're expecting. Yeah, that's we've got to let Jesus reveal to us what that answer is. Acceptance of suffering for following Jesus leads to reliance on God. Reliance through prayer. And secondly, reliance through acceptance. Jesus, while in grief, prays, but he also accepts the suffering that is to come as the way forward. Let's have a look at Mark 14:35-36. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. I'm going to repeat that last line. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Jesus knows that God's will for his life will benefit him in the long run and all of humanity. He knows that God's plans, as hard as they are sometimes, are the things that will benefit us the most, all of us, including Jesus. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Jesus knows that God's will for his life will benefit all. So while praying, he accepts his fate for what it is. And in a way, his grief turns to joy and excitement about what God is going to do through him. Family, does anyone here like going to the dentist? You can put your hand up for this one. Does anyone like going to the dentist? Oh, Ben does? Yeah. Hygienist? Yeah. So there was only maybe two or three hands raised there, yeah? Yeah. But we would all agree in this room that the dentist is a good thing to do, right? You should be going to the dentist once a year, and at my age, you should be going to the hygienist every 6 months, yeah? We all agree that this is a good thing that we should accept, even though it sucks. You get my point, hey, family? Sometimes that's what life is like when we follow Jesus. Sometimes the very thing we experience sucks. But in the long run, it's good for us and it's good for everyone else around us. M. Scott Peck, in his book, The Road Less Traveled, puts it this way. Once suffering is completely accepted, it ceases, in a sense, to be suffering. Do you want me to repeat that? Once suffering is completely accepted, it ceases, in a sense, to be suffering at all. Makes sense, eh? If we accept it for what it is, we're not really going to suffer anymore anyway, are we? Because we've accepted it. This is my lot. Family, acceptance of suffering for following Jesus leads to reliance on God, reliance through prayer, reliance through acceptance, and reliance through the Spirit. Jesus also knew that our bodies are weak. And when it comes to suffering, if we respond with our bodies, we will fail and we will give up. Our bodies can only give so much. Let's have a look at Mark 14, 37 to 38. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The disciples at this point, they've completely missed the point. They're meant to be praying for Jesus. They're meant to be here for him in that moment. They're meant to be keeping an eye out for what's coming. They're actually meant to be keeping an eye out for this stuff that's coming their way. But they were tired and weak and unwilling and perhaps unable to do what was in front of them. They needed to be living in the Spirit. That inner drive that really wants us to be there for Jesus. For us, by post-Pentecost, this by extension means living in the actual Holy Spirit, yeah? Living our lives with the Holy Spirit leading and guiding every step along the way. Is Paris Olympics relatively fresh in everyone's minds still? It's been a couple of years. Do we remember Hayden Wild's triathlon? Yeah, we remember this well, eh? Does everyone remember the triathlon well? Well, I'll explain just in case someone in the room missed it or can't remember. So it was an amazing triathlon. Hayden Wild, he's, you know, one of our best triathletes. If not, I would say he is our best triathlete at the moment, isn't he? So at the beginning of the triathlon, he's not the best swimmer, so he's always at the back normally when they're swimming. And so he was at the back when they were swimming. And then him and a guy named Dylan McCulloch did this massive catch-up throughout the bike ride, yeah? They were doing an amazing job. And Dylan actually almost sacrificed his race for the sake of Hayden's race. Hayden was winning the triathlon right up until the last 300 metres. He was winning it. He had it in the bag. But his body gave in, yeah? He finished the race. He got a silver medal, which is absolutely amazing. And we should still be very proud of him for what he did that day. But his body couldn't do any more. It just couldn't give any more at that last 300 metres. And Alex Yee, as he often does to Hayden, came running past and took the gold medal. Family life can be like this for us too. We can push and push and push, but eventually something's going to give, yeah? And we won't be able to move that step forward. Jesus didn't want the disciples living in the flesh, and equally he doesn't want that for us either. He wants us to live our lives daily reliant on him through the Spirit. Now this does mean getting adequate sleep and rest and allowing our bodies to have those moments. Yes, absolutely. But it's a reliance on the Spirit to lead and to guide our every moment. Acceptance of suffering for following Jesus leads to reliance on God. Reliance through prayer, reliance through acceptance, reliance through the Spirit, and reliance through learning. family. We've actually talked about this idea many times since I've arrived here at Miramar. It's about not thinking we know all the answers and sitting in a position of always wanting to learn and grow and become better people. Let's have a look at Mark 14, 44 to 15. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Am I leading a rebellion," said Jesus, "that you have come out with swords and clubs to catch me? Every day I was sitting with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me, but the scriptures must be fulfilled," accepting his lot. Then everyone deserted him and fled. I'm going to say that last line again. And everyone deserted him and fled. Peter, John, James, gone. Family, in our story today, the disciples bring this lesson out actually in two ways, and it refers to them earlier falling asleep. Yeah, they hadn't learned. They hadn't grown in that regard. They just kept on sleeping and they hadn't paid attention to what Jesus had to say. And also here when the mob comes to take Jesus away, represented by I guess it's a machete and a club today. Family, Jesus wasn't a violent man. And I know some of you may disagree with me there, but he was brave. I would say he wasn't violent. He was brave and he was bold in what he did. He didn't hurt people. Yes, he absolutely flipped tables in the temple. I might add, not hurting anyone. And fashioned a whip. I find that story fascinating, eh? Fashioned a whip. Again, didn't hurt anyone. He was driving people out. He was a bold and brave man, but he was not violent, and the disciples hadn't picked up on that. And one of them cuts off an ear. Now, not in this story, but I can't remember which gospel it is, but one of them has Jesus then healing the ear of the man who had had it cut off. That's the only time Jesus does a miracle at this point. That's the last miracle he does, right up until the ultimate miracle, I guess. So why would the disciples raise a sword against someone else? He's been telling them last week, he told them, "I'm going to die, this is part of it. Let's accept this, let's move on." But they had to fight back. They hadn't learned their lesson. Now I'm wondering if Nigel and Brenda might be able to confirm this for me. I did look it up. But in Japan, there's a group of master builders called Miyadaiku. No, you don't know that? Okay, so this is on me. I did do my research. Miyadaiku, which it means temple carpenters. These craftsmen have built wooden structures for over 1,300 years without nails, screws, or glue, using complex interlocking joints that allow buildings to sway rather than break during seismic events. Sounds fascinating, eh? Sounds amazing. These techniques take decades to master, and even after 30 or 40 years, they would still consider themselves learners. One apprentice in this trade was once asked his older master, who was teaching him, "When do you stop learning?" And the master replied, "The day I stop learning is the day work becomes dangerous." Family, we can apply that directly to us. The day we stop learning about Jesus Christ, the day we think we have it in the bag and we understand absolutely everything about theology and everything there is to understand about God, we are in trouble. We need to sit in that space of learning. Yeah, family, there's a lot in this story. There's a lot in this story, and there's more I could have drawn out than that today. But again, what this teaches us today, family, is acceptance of suffering for following Jesus leads to reliance on God, which is what we want. We want to be reliant on God. At the beginning of our story, we have Jesus grieving what is about to come, but with acceptance of his situation came freedom and joy in what God was ultimately going to achieve through his life. And we actually received this really cool practical roadmap. That's the thing I love about this story, of four things that we can do in our own lives to help us to cope with the same. Reliance through prayer, reliance through acceptance, reliance through the Spirit, and reliance through learning. So one last question for us today is, how do we respond to something like that? Family, Jesus wants us to experience this shift from grief to joy in our lives. No matter what we're going through, he wants us to know that he is there with us, leading and guiding, and he wants us to accept and move forward in the Spirit in his name. And in all of this, he wants us to pray, accept, to live through the Holy Spirit, and to live lives in a posture of learning. So family, our response today is quite simple. And I wanted to start with step one, prayer. And I want to take time to pray for these things to become ever-present in our lives, for us to build them into our already amazing experience of God, to become more reliant on God and less reliant on our own strength. So we're going to do this really simply, family. I've got a pre-prepared prayer, and I'd love for you all to stand. Yeah, I'd love for you all to stand, and we're going to pray this prayer over each and every person in this room today. Shall we pray? God, today you have revealed to us that acceptance of suffering for following Jesus leads to reliance on God. And Lord, we want to be a people that put our trust and our reliance in you and you alone. We will all be facing varying levels of suffering for our faith. So Lord, we ask that we would turn to prayer, never ceasing prayer. Prayer which looks to your will, not ours. Prayers of faith that you are a God who comes through. But also prayer that accepts the path you are laying out in front of us. And no matter how hard that path may seem, may we accept and trust that it is for our good and for your benefit. May we be people who live in the Holy Spirit, not in our own flesh. May we follow your lead to say no to things that you don't want us involved in and yes to the things you are calling us to. May we seek wisdom and guidance from your Spirit each and every moment so that we do not become weary. May we always sit in a posture of wanting to learn. May each day be seen as an opportunity to learn more about you, our Creator, and to learn more about your plans for us. Lord, ultimately, in all of this, we are asking that you turn our grief to joy. May we daily follow the example of your Son and experience true joy through the knowledge of your Spirit working in our lives. May we see breakthroughs that we couldn't see before because we were looking in the wrong places. Lord, as we draw closer to Easter, we ask that this season would reveal itself afresh to us, that this Easter would bring new revelation and hope to our lives, and it would call us to live lives fully devoted to your will and reliant on you. We pray all of this in Jesus' mighty and powerful name, knowing that he will come through. Amen.